Welcome to Daily in the Word.
Hi, I'm Jeremy, and I graduated from West Coast Baptist College in 1996. Since that time, I've been serving the Lord full-time as an assistant pastor in youth and singles ministry.
Hi, I'm Sarah, and I graduated from West Coast in 2006. Since that time, the Lord has allowed me to serve Him full-time, developing Sunday school curriculum, teaching senior high girls, and serving in Christian radio.
Hi, I'm Larry. I graduated from West Coast Baptist College in 2006. God has given me the great privilege to be a youth pastor and also to serve in the media and internet ministry through my local church. I'm thankful for the excellent training I received at West Coast Baptist College.
Hi, I'm Amanda, and I graduated from West Coast Baptist College in 2004. Since that time, I've been serving God as an administrative assistant in a growing local church, and I really love serving God with my life.
Thank you for your prayers and support for the students and vision of West Coast Baptist College. For more information about West Coast or to share in the vision, visit us at wcbc.edu.
Have you noticed that times are changing? Well, believe it or not, the Bible has a lot to say about changing times. Next on Daily in the Word with Paul Chappell, we have an all-new series entitled Times Are Changing. We're going to discover what the Bible has to say about what's happening in our world today. Stay with us. When it comes to predicting the future, the Bible is 100% accurate. Friend, let that sink in for a moment. 100% accurate. It's never been wrong. It never will be wrong because it's the Word of God. And when it comes to today's headlines and the economic and political unfoldings of our day, the Bible is 100% accurate as to the meaning and the direction of these events. It's amazing that God, thousands of years ago, gave us an unfolding description of what's happening before our very eyes on the world scene. Times are changing. That's the topic of this series. It's an all-new series preached recently at Lancaster Baptist Church with Dr. Paul Chappell. Pastor Chappell is the pastor of Lancaster Baptist Church and the president and founder of West Coast Baptist College in Lancaster, California. And this program comes to you every Monday through Friday on this station. And we look forward to this series, Times Are Changing. If you'd like to subscribe to the daily podcast, you can take Daily in the Word with you and listen to it on your computer or iPod. You can also subscribe to a daily devotional from Dr. Chappell. All of this and much more when you visit us online at dailyintheword.org. Again, that's dailyintheword.org. Today, we open our Bibles to Revelation 17 and we study the one world religion that God says is on the rise even today. Here's Paul Chappell.
And so there's an integration in the matter of idolatry. There's an integration in the matter of politically. Notice thirdly, and this is probably the most interesting, there will be an integration theologically. This last day's church is going to say, hey, let's just get all the faiths together. You know, we all believe in God. Let's just get together. And it makes sense right at first. In fact, notice verse 4. It says, the woman was arrayed in purple and scarlet color and decked with gold and precious stones and pearls, having a golden cup in her hand full of abominations and filthiness of her fornication. The fornication spoken of here, as we saw back in the book of Genesis, is the compromise of bringing false faiths together. Now, the false religion will say something like this. Look, no one religion can save. Let's just get all the religions together. Today we would refer to that as a secular mindset or a pluralist mindset. Many people have that mindset. Many people, without really thinking about it, have just adapted that idea that, hey, all roads must lead to the same place. And I don't have a lot of time for illustrations, but let me just illustrate with a lady who I believe probably does a lot of good things. She's involved in a lot of philanthropy and tries to help a lot of people, Oprah Winfrey. Now, I want you to think about this, though. Oprah Winfrey, on the video you're about to see, has a lady that just maybe gives her testimony that Jesus Christ would be the way to have a relationship with God. And let's listen and hear what Oprah has to say about having a way to God.
One of the mistakes that human beings make is believing that there is only one way. to live.
That's
and
right.
That we don't accept that there are diverse ways of being in the world, that there are millions of ways to be a
then
human
how do
being.
We please God?
And many ways, no, but many paths to what you call God.
That
and
is
her
crazy.
Path might be something else, and when she gets there, she might call it the light. But her loving and her kindness and her generosity brings her, if it brings her to the same point that it brings you, it doesn't matter whether she called it God along the way or not.
And I can really look at both sides. I
there couldn't possibly be just one way. What about Jesus? What about Jesus?
There could not possibly be one way, Oprah said. There are many ways to the light. That's pretty common in the world today. People say things like that. Many ways to that light out there, that New Age understanding of what God is. But you know, the Bible speaks to that, and it's in your notes. Colossians chapter 2 and verse 8 says it this way, "Beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy." Philosophy is man's wisdom. "Beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit." Notice this, "after the tradition of men, after the rudiments of the world, and not after Christ." Now, we're not here this morning to get a hold of the rudiments or the elements of the world. We're here this morning to say, what does Christ have to say in the matter? And the Bible tells us in verse 9, "For in him," speaking of Christ, "dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily." A famous Baptist pastor a few centuries ago said, "You cannot have unity without compromising the truth, and to forsake the truth for the sake of unity is to betray Jesus Christ." And so many people today are forsaking the truth for the sake of unity and are neglecting this fact that Jesus claimed to be the way, the truth, and the life. And that's why John said in 1 John 4 and verse 1, "Beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits, whether they are of God, because many false prophets are gone out into the world." Years ago, I was getting ready for a sermon, and I was reading Charlie Brown comic strips. Some of my best theology has come from Charlie Brown comic strips. And Charlie Brown said in the comic strip, "I once knew a beautiful girl in Sunday school, but she switched churches." And Linus said, "That's enough to make a guy change his theology." Now, I know a lot of people who change their theology for all the wrong reasons. Because it seems right, it feels right, they don't want to be seeming judgmental, etc., etc. But the Bible says that this last day's church will be a church where people are blinded by Satan. There will be a desire for some type of political correctness and acceptance. And look, we all worship the same God, just in different ways. But Proverbs 14 and verse 12 speaks to that when it says, "There is a way that seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof is the way of death." Now, I know someone might say this morning, "All right, Pastor Chapel, look, do you really believe that people who believe in Jesus are going to get together with people who believe in Muhammad and people who believe in Buddha? I mean, do you really conceptualize that all these faiths will gather together?" Well, again, may I simply say this morning that it's already happening. There's already that spirit in the world in which we live. If you would, just imagine for a moment. Imagine the Catholic Church with some 2 billion people and the Muslim faith with some 2 point whatever billion people coming together, representing approximately half of the world's population. Most of you know the Muslim faith is rapidly growing. Russia has more Muslims in their nation than Libya and Jordan put together. And there's a rising up of that faith. And you stop and you begin to think and listen. Vatican II, which was published a number of years ago by the Catholic Church, said, and I quote, "But the plan of salvation also includes those who acknowledge the Creator in the first place, amongst whom are the Muslims. These profess to hold the faith of Abraham, and together with us they adore the One." Now, stop and think about that statement. Here we have an official church document from one church saying that if you're monotheistic and you believe that God created, then you're a part of salvation. And so we must ask ourselves, so is anybody who believes in one God automatically heaven bound? One theologian spoke of it in these terms. He said, "While the Roman Catholic Church teaches that Islam is both erroneous and incomplete, it also holds that sincere Muslims can be included in Christ's salvation through their faithfulness to monotheism and Islam." And I don't know, maybe that's why a few months ago when the Pope was in Turkey, he prayed in the Blue Mosque of Istanbul and there made his prayers to his God. Some of you may have seen in the newspaper, just thinking of the concept concept of churches coming together, and whether that's good or bad. The Catholics and Muslims open landmark talks at the Vatican. And here you see the leaders of both groups as they sit together and launch their first Muslim-Catholic forum to improve relations between the two world's largest faiths. By the way, I believe the political climate will foster the coming together of these churches. We saw that recently in the state of Hawaii. The state of Hawaii overwhelmingly approved a bill recently to have every year Islam Day. And this was their decision to celebrate Islam Day. And the whole world is seeming to say, look it, let's just get everybody together and let's get all faiths together, because all faiths kind of lead you to the same God. And there you have the integrated concept of this false church. Well, we see the identification of a false church and we see the integration of the false church. Now, before we're done, we're going to get to the good news right now. And I want you to look in your notes at this third thought, the invitation of a true Savior. The invitation of a true Savior. Because what we've got to figure out together today is this. Is it all roads getting us to God, or does Jesus get us to God? What's the answer to that question? Now turn, if you would, to the last chapter of the last book of the Bible, okay? Revelation 22, verse 16. And notice what Jesus is saying here to you and to me this morning. Because I want you to see this is right from the scriptures today. And listen to what Jesus says. I, Jesus, have sent mine angel to testify unto you these things in the churches. I am the root of the offspring of David and the bright and morning star. And the Spirit and the bride say, come. And let him that heareth say, come. And let him that is athirst come. And whosoever will, let him take of the water of life freely. Now let's notice first of all the source of this invitation. This, my friends, is the legitimate source to eternal life. Jesus said, I am the resurrection and the life. Whosoever believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. Now, in this passage we read from the book of the Revelation, Jesus says, I am the root and the offspring of David. And I want you to see, we could look at many scriptures, Isaiah chapter 9 and many others, but in the Old Testament it was prophesied that when Messiah came, he would be of the root and lineage of David. And in Revelation 22, Jesus said, I am the one that was promised to you. We hear about him from the angel when the angel came to Mary in Luke chapter 1 and verse 31 and said, and behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb and bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, and he shall be great and shall be called the Son of the Highest, and the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David. In other words, when we read in Luke 22 that I am of the root of David, Jesus is simply saying, I am the legitimate Messiah speaking to you and giving to you this message that whosoever will may come. It is a very legitimate source. Notice, secondly, Jesus Christ is the only source of invitation to God the Father and to the forgiveness of sins. Now, right here, this message gets real exclusive, and I realize that. You see, the one world concept that's developing and rapidly developing is very inclusive of all faiths. But the message that Jesus taught, and this is a Bible-believing Baptist church or a Christian church, so we're going to teach today what Jesus taught. The message that Jesus taught is very inclusive, very exclusive, in that he is going to say that he is the source of salvation. Now think about what the Bible says, because how many of you would agree with me this morning? All that really matters is what the Bible says. The Bible's our authority and our faith and practice. And in Acts chapter 4 and verse 12, the Bible says concerning Jesus, neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name given under heaven, given among men, whereby we must be saved. Now that's a pretty exclusive thought. There's no other name. You got all these other names gathering together, having talks, bringing unity together. But the Bible says there's no other name given under heaven whereby you must be saved. Look at John chapter 14. And if you have your Bible, turn to John 14. And if you have a friend with you that maybe doesn't have a Bible, share this verse with them. Part of it's in your notes, but I want to get the full context of it for you here for just a moment. John chapter 14 and verse number 1. Jesus is preparing his disciples for his ascension to heaven. And Jesus says in John 14, 1 to them, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. By the way, it's going to be a great place. It's a gated community with streets of gold. You don't want to miss this place that Jesus is building. And he says, and if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again. We'll learn about that in 2 weeks. And receive you into myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. And whither I go, ye know, and the way ye know. Now Thomas saith unto him, Lord, we know not whither thou goest, and how can we know the way? And Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except by me. And here we see, again, the exclusive claim of Jesus Christ to be the I am, to be the way, the truth, and the life. Now notice, if you would, in 1 John chapter 5, what is said. And I love this. It's in your notes. Verse 11, it says, and this is the record. Now, folks, with all of the lights and spiritual lights and books and all of the so-called revelations in the world, I love that phrase. This is the record. We need a record. We need to know. What's the record, God? This is the record that God hath given to us, eternal life, and this life is in many different religious forms. Is that what it says? No. This life is in His Son. Now, some people say, oh, the Bible's hard to understand. Okay, let's put our thinking caps on. Come on, stay with me, young people. Put our thinking caps and listen to this verse. He that has the Son has life. And he that has not the Son of God has not life. Friend, that's not hard to understand. If we possess Christ as our Savior, we have everlasting life. Now, notice verse 13. These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that ye may, what's the next word say? Know that you have eternal life, and that ye may believe on the name of the Son of God. Now, I spoke to people this week, and I asked them, do you know if you died, you'd spend eternity in heaven? And sometimes those folks say, well, you know, nobody can know that. Nobody can really know if they're going to heaven. Now, did you know the Bible says you can know? And let me just pause here, and we're almost done. But let me ask you this question. Do you know that if you died today, you would instantly be with the Lord in heaven? Do you know that you have eternal life? That's the first question. The second question is, how do we know? Is it this way of many faiths, or is it this way that Jesus speaks of so exclusively as the source of our invitation? But notice finally the subjects of the invitation. Who is it that Jesus invites to heaven? Is it a select few? Is it just people in America? Is it just a particular race of people? Who is it? Well, let's go back to the Bible, because that's all that matters. Revelation 22, 17. And the Spirit and the bride say, come, and let him that heareth come, and let him that is athirst come, and whosoever will, let him take the water of life freely. You know, this gift of eternal life, this water of God's Spirit springing up in us, it's available to anyone that's thirsty this morning. Isaiah said, ho, everyone that thirsteth, come ye to the waters. And here Jesus says, whosoever will may come. No, most of you have heard John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him, that is in Jesus, should not perish, but have everlasting life. Some people say, well, I don't believe in a God that would send people to hell. You know what? God is not willing that anybody should perish. He wants everybody to come to repentance. He wants everybody to go to heaven. That's why he sent his Son, Jesus, to shed his blood on the cross of Calvary. Now, my friend, salvation is not something we achieve. It's something that we receive. And when you believe Jesus Christ died on the cross for your sin, and you put your faith in the finished work of the cross, at that moment you receive forgiveness, not because you earned it, but because he gives it to you. For the Bible says, for by grace are you saved. Listen, I'm not saved because I deserve it. I'm not saved because I'm a Baptist or because I'm a preacher. I am only saved because of the grace of God. God in his grace saw the whole world was sinners, but God commendeth his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. And so Romans 10:13 is there in your notes. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Now as we close, look at verse 20. He which testifieth these things saith, surely I come quickly. Even so, come, Lord Jesus. Again, Jesus said that about 2,000 years ago. And the fact of the matter is, on his time clock, that's been about 2 days since he said it. And let me remind you, friend, he is coming. And so today is the day of salvation. You don't need to wait for a deathbed conversion. If you're here today and you're not 100% sure that you are heaven bound, you have a choice to make. Do you put your trust in the credence of a whole bunch of faiths? Or should you consider that Jesus Christ, the Son of God, came to this earth, lived a perfectly sinless life, was tempted just like we are, but never sinned, and then the Son of God allowed the Roman soldiers to pierce his hands, put the thorns into his brow, the spear into his side, and there for you and there for me, Jesus died for our sins. Perhaps you should consider today putting your trust in him. Maybe you're like this guy on the slide. Many of us have been there. And you're standing today wondering which way to go. Boy, the way of inclusion, I mean, it's broad and it's getting popular and people are having summits to kind of bring everybody together and don't be so dogmatic about Jesus being the only way. And you know, the way of Christianity and following Christ is kind of narrow. I mean, he says he's the only way. And to believe in Jesus Christ is to believe in something rather exclusive. My friend, I want to encourage you with the words of Jesus who said, broad is the way of destruction. Narrow is the way of life. And I encourage you this morning, choose Jesus. Jesus loves you and he died for you. And in this day when many would take the broad path, I encourage you this morning to follow the true Savior, the legitimate Son of God, who died for your sin and mine.
You know, you can listen to radio broadcasts and study the Bible, but until you have that personal relationship with Christ, it really doesn't all come together. I just want to encourage you with this simple thought. God loves you, and Jesus Christ paid the price on the cross for your sin. His shed blood and his resurrection make it possible for anyone who will turn to him to be saved. It's not about trusting in a church. It's not about giving money. It's not about anything we do. It's already been done by Jesus Christ. The price has been paid. If you have never accepted Christ as your Savior, why don't you take a moment right now and simply say, Lord Jesus, I confess to you that I am a sinner, and I turn to you today and trust you to be my Savior. I ask you to make me your child and take me to heaven someday. Friend, if you said that prayer and meant it, then by the grace of God, you have been saved. Your sins have been forgiven. And if you have said that prayer, why don't you call us here at Daily in the Word and let us know what God has done in your life today.
Well, you've been listening to Pastor Paul Chappell, and he's been teaching and preaching in a series entitled Times Are Changing. We're discovering how accurate Bible prophecy is when looking at today's news headlines, and we're understanding what God has to say about the unfolding of the end of the age. If you'd like to hear this message in its entirety or any of the recent broadcasts, if you'd like to get this entire series, visit us at dailyintheword.org. Online, you can listen to recent broadcasts. You can also subscribe to the Daily Podcast and download Daily in the Word to your own computer or iPod and take it with you and listen or re-listen to these messages at your own convenience. Would you consider referring a friend to dailyintheword.org? You probably know somebody that doesn't live in an area where this program is broadcast. They might benefit from the Bible teaching and preaching. And when you direct them to dailyintheword.org, they can listen to the program and download it to go. And hopefully the teaching of God's Word will encourage and edify those you love. We sure enjoy hearing from you as a listener, knowing that Daily in the Word is touching your life on a daily basis. This month, our gift to you when you call or write to us is the mini book, Done, What Most Religions Don't Tell You About the Bible. This book, Done, is a paperback 112-page presentation of the gospel. It will do two things. It will help you as a Christian understand how to better share your faith, but more importantly, it would be a great resource to pass along to someone that you're hoping will come to Christ. If you know someone, a relative, a coworker, a neighbor, who hasn't come to Christ and you've tried to share the gospel with them, this is a great way to pass the gospel along to them and encourage them to read this book. We receive emails every week of people all across the country that have trusted Christ as a result of Done, what most religions don't tell you about the Bible. This is our gift to you this month when you call or write to us at Daily in the Word. You can call us toll-free, 1-800-201-7748. Once again, 1-800-201-7748. You can also visit us at dailyintheword.org and click on the email link. And finally, you can send a letter to 4020 East Lancaster Boulevard, Lancaster, California, 93535. Once again, 4020 East Lancaster Boulevard, Lancaster, California, 93535. Thanks for being a part of today's edition of Daily in the Word. Be sure to visit us at dailyintheword.org. And until next time, have a great day.